All right, well, we started a new series last weekend called Build Each Other Up. And so we're going to be going on that. We did the overview last weekend, and this weekend we're going to hit one of the, a little deeper on the first part of the message. And then through the next few weeks, we'll just continue on it because I believe it's so important that we're building one another up. So important that we build and encourage forward, and when we do that, we'll see amazing things, because it's just too easy to become negative and even kind of down on those around you, or without realizing it, doing things that instead of build up, tear down. So we just want to make sure that we are builders. God has called us to be builders, to build one another. He's called us to be healers. He's called us to be people who make a positive difference in those around us. Okay? That's what we're called to if you call yourself a Christian. Now, if you're here today and you're not, this is still a great message, and you're going to get something out of it. So, building each other up. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, encourage each other and build each other up just as you're already doing. You see, building each other up is the opposite of tearing down, of course. It's lifting those around us, desiring to see them succeed, overcome, and win in life. You see, we all have a desire to succeed ourselves. We want to win. We want to overcome. You know, we want to do something great. But as believers, we're also called to see our brothers, our sisters, those around us succeed. You see, so our success can't be because we've pushed others down beside us. Our success can't be because we're saying things to remove this person or that person. Our success and our wins should be with us bringing others along with us. It's what we're called to, and it's way more fun. You see, we don't do this alone. And I said it last weekend, I'll say it again. This journey should not be traveled alone. This journey of following Christ should not be traveled by yourself. It's an exciting adventure serving God. It really is. If you'll just go all in and listen to what He's directing, it is exciting. That doesn't mean it's always easy. That doesn't mean there'll never be trials or hard things, but it's a journey that you win. It's a journey where there's victory, and it's exciting. And like I said last weekend, nobody goes to Disney World all by themselves. It's no fun. Who are you going to tell? Wasn't that an amazing ride? Did you see me scream? There's nobody. You go on exciting adventures with others because it makes it that much more fun. Who's ever been on an adventure with other people? You went on an adventure. You see, God allows us and actually calls us to step out, to go forward with others. And guess what? When you build others up, you end up having some amazing people around you who are built up. And what do they do in turn when you need it? They build you up. Isn't that good? We're going to look deeper at the first part of the overview of the message, and it was speak life. You see, we build each other up in a number of ways. But today, we're going to really look at the part of how we build others up with our words. So here we go. The first thing I want to say about building others up with your words, we're going to talk about speaking life, but the first thing I want to say is this. If you truly want to build others up with your words, you must refuse to gossip. Because gossip tears down, and you can't speak life and then gossip right away after. It will not work. It's confusion. So the first thing I'm going to say is this. You must refuse to gossip. James 3 verse 10 says this. My dear friends, with our tongues we speak both praises and curses. We praise our Lord and Father, and we curse people who were created to be like God, and this isn't right. Can clean water and dirty water both flow from the same spring? Can a fig tree produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? Does fresh water come from a well full of salt water? Of course, the answer to all those was no. You can't have both coming out. I don't know if we have any hunters or nature people who go out there, and if you've ever found a spring, there's not two types of water coming from the spring. There'll be one. It'll either taste not very good at all, or it'll be awesome. I grew up on a farm, and on one of their quarter sections, we had a spring coming out of the bottom of a hill. And the spring actually just ran, and it was crystal clear, pure water, and it was good. But I've also drank water in other places where it was bitter. It's never both. And God is saying to you and I, what comes out of us should be clear, and it should be true, and it shouldn't be mixed. So you must refuse to gossip and instead choose to do it the way God wants. You see, gossip is actually the opposite of sharing the gospel. Did you know that? In Scripture, we're told to share the gospel. What does gospel mean? Good news. The opposite of sharing good news is sharing bad news. And the definition of gossip is, you know, sharing news that's kind of negative, down, or puts somebody in a bad light. Okay? So when you gossip, you're actually doing the opposite of sharing good news. You're sharing or spreading bad news. So why is this bad? Why is this not healthy? Well, you can see from even how we're going, it's not going to build people up, is it? It's not going to encourage them. It's not going to help them to do well. Let me give you a few things that gossip does and why we shouldn't do it. You see, gossip separates friends, ruins relationships. According to Scripture, Proverbs 16:27 says, "Worthless people dig up trouble. Their lips are like a scorching fire. Destructive people produce conflict." It's talking about words here. This is crazy, isn't it? Gossip alienates close friends. Yeah, your words can do all that through gossip. Maybe someone shared with you something personal, something that kind of hurt them, and you just go and you want to share this juicy news with someone else, and it comes back and wrecks a relationship, a friendship. You see, gossip isn't just idle talk. It isn't just hearing the latest news. It has consequences, and it can separate friends. Gossip can actually, according to Scripture, destroy people. Listen to what it says in Proverbs 11, verse 9. "With his mouth, the godless man would destroy his neighbor, but by knowledge, the righteous are delivered. When it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices. And when the wicked perish, there are shouts of gladness. By the blessing, the words out of their mouth, of the upright, a city is exalted. But by the mouth of the wicked, it's overthrown. Whoever belittles his neighbor lacks sense, but a man of understanding remains silent. Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets. But he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered." Your mouths can cause someone to be destroyed if you're not careful. You see, it's not something we should do. And it surprises me in Proverbs that Solomon, who wrote these Proverbs, would say that the mouth of a godless man could destroy his neighbor. The mouth. Now, we, in our day and age, would obviously be able to look at each other and say, "No, I've never destroyed anybody. I've never murdered anybody. I wouldn't do that." But have you ever used words in a way that might actually cause someone to lose their job? Or used words in a way that might have actually caused someone's relationship to crumble? The other reason we want to refuse to gossip is that gossip in Scripture is actually a sin. I don't know if you knew that or not, but it actually is a sin. Leviticus 19:16. "You shall not go around as a gossip among your people, and you are not to act against the life of your neighbor with slander or fake testimony. I am the Lord." Right there in Leviticus, where they're given all those laws back in the Old Testament, "You shall not." And you guys are really quiet right now. Everybody's like, "I didn't know that was in Leviticus." No, we really should not. But you know, sometimes we just know this is, I don't do this. And now you're realizing, "Oh, that's why I don't do it. You know, I knew this wasn't pleasing to God. Now I really know why." And when someone's getting you going, wanting you to join in on the gossip, you can realize that I don't need to go there. It's not going to be helpful. It's going to be harmful. And it is a sin. Romans 1:29. Since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, he has abandoned them to their foolish thinking and let them do things that should never be done. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, and gossip. That's New Testament. I know Leviticus, you were like, well, that's Old Testament. That's New Testament. Gossip is listed with murder. It's not okay. Well, we just get a group in around in a group with my besties and we just, you know, kind of talk about that person and they're so bad. That's listed with a bunch of other things and murder was one of them. Ouch! We wouldn't get together and plan to murder somebody, would we? We might get together and talk about how sister so-and-so, brother, you know, or I heard. If that happens to you in the future after this message, you're going to be like, hey. But you know, the cool thing, when God brings truth to us, it helps us. I'm your pastor, but I'm a person as well. And I mentioned this last week. I've gossiped without realizing it. And even since I've been starting this series, I realize, you know, it comes to my mind, wait a minute. Is this something we need to pray about? Is this something that we should be discussing or not? So this is really good for us when we get God's truth into us because it helps us to rise up and to be ones who will build. Did you know that you and I will actually be held accountable for every word we speak? In Matthew 12:36, it says, I tell you this, you must give an account on judgment day for every idle word you speak. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. That's crazy, isn't it? Now, I've got some good news. If you're like, whoa, in my past, I said a lot of dumb stuff. If you've asked Christ to forgive you, it's forgiven. But he's making a point here to these followers and those around that your words are important. So important that the day's coming that you're going to stand and say, okay, these are the things you said. And it's going to be like, and there's a whole bunch that's covered in the blood that I don't see. And you're going to be like, thank you, Jesus, for forgiving. But moving forward, how do you want your words to come out? How do you want your words to affect your world around you? Because you see, your words have great power. Did you know that you and I only have a certain amount of time on this earth? We also only have a certain number of words that we're going to get to speak. I mean, that's kind of obvious, right? You get it. So I think we should make those words count. I think those words should fulfill and accomplish what we want to most accomplish in the time we have. You see, we need to use our words to spread the good news of what God has done and is still doing. Not the bad news of what the devil has done and is still doing. Did you know that if I came up here every weekend and told you all the bad things that happened on the news so that you could pray, I would actually be spreading everything that the devil has done around the world. I could go online every week and click on all the horrible things, come here and say as a prayer request, here's what this. Did you know? That would literally be me being a voice proclaiming everything that evil has done. And just so you know, I refuse to do that. I only have so many words. I only have so much time in front of this congregation to give you life. And I choose to speak words that will build you up. You can go online yourself. You don't need me. But let me encourage you, don't go looking for everything horrible. You will be depressed, you will be heavy, and you'll be like, the world is ending tomorrow. But I got some great news. If even the people here in this room tonight would go out and start using their voice the way it was meant to be used, you would change this community, which would change the region. You get the picture. There is so much power in your words, and that's my next point. You must understand your words have the power to bring life or death. When you get that and you understand it, you will choose your words wisely. You see, Proverbs 18:20 says, from the fruit of their mouth, a person's stomach is filled. With the harvest of their lips, they are satisfied. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. In your mouth is the power of life and death. We say it here, but do you really understand that? Parents, the words you give to your kids will cause them to have life or death in what they do. Your words at work will bring life around you or a gloomy ugh. Your words have that ability. James 3 and verse 3, when we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Anybody here ever rode horses? Uh-huh. You put that bit and you can turn and this big, tough animal and you can turn it where you need to go. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. Here the writer, as God speaks through him to write this down, he is trying to give you a picture of how powerful your tongue is, which means your words. That's crazy, isn't it? Your words are so powerful, just like one little spark starting a forest fire. We can talk about forest fires here. Everybody gets it. You see, without realizing it, you could say something that causes all kind of destruction. But the part I really want you to focus on tonight is this. You could also say something that could bring all kinds of life. You could also say something that can bring health, healing, that can bring joy. I'm so thankful for all the teams today out there at the market, handing out free water and juice, and the worship team up there doing music. And there are people like, it feels so joyful here. What, they chose to use their words to bring joy to the entire area wherever that speaker went. There was others, the kids were laughing, they're so happy with their face paint. And there was a whole bunch of people that were sure they were going to win that draw. You know what? It's an awesome thing to use your words to bring life. There's a story in Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel 37, the entire chapter, which we're not going to read tonight. Let me tell you the story. See, Ezekiel was a prophet, and he was a prophet over Israel in the time when Jerusalem and Israel was basically taken over. Everybody that was anybody was taken captive. Everybody else was wiped out except for a few people left to kind of keep the land from becoming completely wild. Ezekiel was a prophet where they were taken captive. And God spoke to him, and he would give the word that God spoke. And God tells him, in a vision, he brings him to a valley full of dry bones. And it says the bones were very dry. In other words, these peoples had been destroyed a long time ago if the bones were dry. And God asks Ezekiel, Ezekiel, can these bones live? And Ezekiel, being a smart guy, says, God, you're the only one who knows that. Isn't it something? I think Ezekiel looked at those bones and was like, of course they can't live, but you're God, so you know what? God, you know. Rather than say, I don't think so, he chose to say, God, you know. When you're not able to believe, then say, God, you know. Don't say the negative. Don't say it's impossible. And so God says to Ezekiel, Ezekiel, I want you to prophesy and say, oh, you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is really something. God is giving him a vision, and he's making Ezekiel declare life to something that is impossible to live. And he's doing it because in the spiritual, he's going to do something for Israel. Did you know that God says he does nothing except he first reveals it to his prophets? That's crazy. Why? Because when he reveals it to his prophets, a prophet, the very definition of a prophet, they are supposed to declare it, speak it out. They're not a prophet if they just hear and see things and never declare it. That's not a prophet. The prophet proclaims the word that God gives. They may have the gift of a prophet, they're seeing and hearing, but they're a disobedient prophet if they're not speaking it out. This is cool. God may want to do some things in your life that he's even showing you. You will need to speak it out. You'll need to declare it. You will need to proclaim it. And Ezekiel said, okay, God, you tell me what to do, I'll do it. And he prophesies to the dry bones and says, you know, the word of the Lord, live. And he says, all of a sudden, there was a shaking, a rattling. This entire valley of dry bones, in other words, they've been there a long time, the animals have picked them clean. All of a sudden, there's a rattling and a shaking. And the bones come together, the skeletons of the people are suddenly made whole. And then flesh and sinew comes on those bones. They are full corpses, but there's no breath in them. That's pretty impossible, by the way. Absolutely impossible. But not with God. And yet the God of the impossible, who can do anything, said, I want a person to speak it. This is amazing. This is important for you. Don't you dare sit back and say, well, if God wants to, he can do it. Then won't he be doing anything for you? Because when God wants to do something, he speaks to a person and he says, say it. And then he says, now step out. But the declaring comes first. You see, Ezekiel, then God says to him, Ezekiel, I want you to prophesy to the wind, oh breath, come and fill these corpses. And Ezekiel is obedient to God and he declares, breath, come and breathe. And the breath of God comes into the people and they stand up a great army. And then God says to him, this, what I've shown you, is real and you need to speak it, declare it, because he says, son of man, these bones represent the people of Israel. They are saying, we have become old, dry bones. All hope is gone. Our nation is finished. Therefore, prophesy to them and say. Prophesy to them and say. These are words that would change the course of that nation. These are words that would allow that nation to once again be reborn. These words that Ezekiel was saying. Therefore, prophesy to them and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says, O my people, I will open your graves of exile and cause you to rise again. Then I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Ezekiel would declare those words to Israelites, many of who didn't believe it anymore. You see, they were in captivity for 75 years. But the word of God was declared and spoken, and it would come to pass. And that word was declared, that word was spoken, and then God would speak to more people. God would speak to Nehemiah and tell him, you need to go. God would speak to Ezra and say, you need to go. There's those that declare it, and there's those that go and do it. But I have this to say to you, all of us have been given mouths. And all of us need to be speaking and declaring what God says. All of us. And some of us Wow, I shouldn't put anybody out of this. All of us, in some way or another, are also called to do. You declare and you do. If God's given you the gift of prophetic, you will do a lot more declaring, and others will end up doing some of it, but you will also do. So when you think something's impossible, I want you to remember Ezekiel, and I want you to pray and say, God, what do you want me to say? If there is nothing you can think of to do, if there is, you've tried it all, you've done your best, and it looks like it's impossible, it's okay, Lord, what do you want me to say over this? Because you can definitely do that. You can definitely speak what he drops in you. Jesus says this in Mark chapter 11 and verse 23. Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, for surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. What? So let me ask you this, what are you saying? Do you see from this message why it is so important to use our voices the way God wants? Why would we waste an hour gossiping about somebody when we could be speaking life into somebody? When we could be speaking health? When we could be speaking freedom into our community and our nation? When we could speak prosperity and life to those around us? We don't have time to discuss the horrible thing that happened over there or over there. Because God hasn't changed. If you're like, well, I don't see God doing miracles, God hasn't changed. If you're not seeing miracles, it's because we've changed. If you're not seeing God do unbelievable things, well, I don't see mountains moving. Did you notice the mountains moving wasn't on God? Did you catch that? He didn't say, if God wants to, he will move mountains. This is not what he said. So guess what? God wants to move mountains for you. And he said how they'll be moved. If you say to that mountain, be removed, and you don't doubt in your heart. Now he started it with, have faith in God. In other words, you know how big he is. You know how much he loves you. You know the direction he's sending you. And you say, mountain, be moved. The mountain has to move. You know, when we started this year, God gave a word that this was a year of abundance. And I choose to pray and listen to him. And, you know, sometimes I have not a lot of clue what's going on, and it's good. It's way easier to hear from God and declare it. And there are people when we declare that, like, oh, yeah, but you don't know about the election and about this and about that, and all that. It doesn't look good. It looks good to me. It looks really good to me because I know the God I serve, and he said this is going to be a year of abundance. And I declare it a year of abundance. Anybody else want to declare it's a year of abundance for you? So, how much time do you want to spend talking about the economy and the politics and everything that's going on? Or do you want to talk about what God says? Yeah, but those things affect it. Sure they do. But I know God affects it even far more when you are able to declare it. You have unbelievable power in your mouth because of what God does through you. And it works either way. That's the kicker. It works either way. You see, you can sit around, oh, I know those people. They hate me. They don't like me. They think this about me. It's just not going to work. I don't know. That doesn't sound like the God that I serve. It doesn't sound like that he would say that about you. Well, you don't know me. Or you don't know them. I don't need to. I know him. And I know that he takes ordinary people like me, and he says, if you'll trust me, I've got an extraordinary journey that I want to take you on. I've got something great in store for you. I want you to move mountains. I want you to see the impossible become possible. I want you to have abundance like you can't even imagine, because I want you to affect my kingdom. So what about you? What have you been declaring over your finances? I'll just give you a little something here. Like, our teenage daughters, they're always asking me for money. And without realizing, I would always say, nope, I'm broke. Nope, I'm broke. I'd say it all the time, because then they'd quit asking me. And one day my wife said, are you declaring you're broke all the time? I think I know why we don't have any money. No, I'm not going to say that. So now when they ask, if the finances aren't there, I say the finances are already designated for something else. Not I'm broke. Because we're not broke. Something as simple as that matters. It really does. The more you hear yourself say certain things, you actually give life to what you're saying. So, I don't know if I should, yeah, I'm going to say it, I always do. I see a couple single people here. If you're like at home like, nobody's ever going to want me, don't say that. Don't say something like that. You should be like, thank you, Lord, you are preparing the person that is just right for me. And you are getting me ready for them. And Lord, I can't wait for that opportunity to meet them, to know them, to be connected. Isn't that a lot better? Did you know you walk around with a smile on your face when you declare it like that? When you speak it like that, you are somebody that people notice, because, oh my goodness, that person looks confident. They look happy. But when you're declaring the other, oh yeah. Yeah, my last relationship, they ruined me. I'm just like a defeated, no good for nothing. Nobody wants me now. Yeah, and you walk around like that, nobody wants you. What about the person you had a rough go at a job? You got let go from a job, or it just didn't turn out well, and now you walk around, yeah, I can't get a job. No, my last reference is so horrible, that's the problem. I can't get a job. Go to an interview like that. Guess what? You're not going to get a job. Because you're going to walk into the interview looking defeated, and you're probably going to blame your last boss. Guess what? You're not getting a job. Even if your last boss was a goof. Maybe it was completely his fault. You're going to get a job when you say, Lord, I thank you, you have something better for me. I thank you, this season is finished, but you have something better. No matter how it turned out or what went wrong, you have something better. Lord, I thank you, you're preparing me for what's next, for what's better. You're getting me ready because you want to abundantly bless me. I thank you, you've given me skills, you've given me wisdom, and you've given me the desire to do my best. Now, guess what happens when you walk into an interview? Whew! I'm glad I'm here, and if you hire me, you're going to be glad I'm here. Okay, don't maybe get that crazy, but you get the picture. Your whole personality is different. And you enter into things differently simply because of how you're speaking it. Okay, that's not in the notes. That's just for somebody. So, here's the thing. We must continually choose words of life that build others up. You see, speaking words of life is a choice, not a personality trait. You can't be like, well, they're just a happier person. They're just more positive. I've actually heard people say, oh, my personality is that, you know, I just see things that aren't right. My personality, I just say it like it is. That's not your personality. You've trained yourself to be kind of a jerk. Oh, sorry. Nobody here. I'm just like throwing that out. Hey, you make a choice of what you speak. We must constantly choose. Well, I got so many things wrong, so I just, you know, I speak negative, depressing stuff all the time. It's my personality. I'm just kind of a down person. That's not a personality. It isn't. That's a choice. Because of the things you've been through and what's happened, you've made a choice to continually speak about them. And yes, it does affect you, and yes, it even affects your personality over time. But you can make a choice to stop and to choose to speak things that are positive and that will build you up and that will build people around you. As a matter of fact, that is your homework. I know I do homework sometimes. Your homework this week. Find something positive you can say to yourself to build yourself up. And find something positive you can say to somebody around you to build them up. If things have been a little rough, maybe find something really good that you can say. Yeah, but you don't know that guy I work with. It's hard to find anything good. You can find something good. Like, I really like your lunch kit. I don't care. Find something good. Yeah, that was almost mean. But you get the picture. You can find something if you want to. And if you're like, Lord, I can't think of anything, then ask the Lord. Did you know that every living human being is somebody he's created? Every living human being is somebody that he wants to be his child close to him again. Everyone, the worst of the worst. So ask him if there's something good about them. He'll find it right away. Just like asking a parent something good about their kid. Doesn't matter how bad their kid is, they'll find something good. So ask him and build somebody up this week. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt talk come out of your mouths, but only that which is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Did you realize you grieve the Holy Spirit of God when you're not building people up with your voice? He's telling us, build people up. Don't let corrupt stuff come out of our mouths. And then he says, because when you do this, you're grieving the Holy Spirit. That's crazy, isn't it? You maybe didn't even think that was possible. You can grieve God's Spirit? Yeah. With your mouth. That is crazy. With your mouth. So let's use our mouths to build people up. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. You see, it's a choice, not a personality trait. And guess what? We can actually train ourselves to speak life. You can train your mouth. Listen to Proverbs 16:23. There we go. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. Wise people teach their mouths and add learning to their lips. Wow. In other words, you can train yourself to speak better, to speak life. That's exciting, isn't it? So it means it's not a God-given gift. It's not only for certain people. It's for anybody who wants it. Anybody. You can be a person who speaks life and sees mountains move, sees people healed, sees people build up. You can walk and life can flow out of you. What? You just think of this. Picture it. You're walking down the street. You're walking at work. And life is literally flowing out of you by how you're talking. Oh my goodness. If you believe that and understand it, you will change the places you go. Did you know in the spirit, when you walk through, things should change? Believe it. I don't care where God puts you, sends you. Believe when you walk through, things change, life comes. We are called to be a light in the darkness, aren't we? What happens when you bring a light through a dark room? It changes the room. The room lights up. Where's God taking you? There should be light and life coming out of you. Believe it. Believe it. Believe it. Believe it. Believe it. And your words don't have to be many. They just have to bring life. Did you know that nobody at work wants to hear your theories or your debates? But you know what? They do want to hear you build them up. They do want to hear you speak life. They do want to feel that joy or whatever it is that when you're around is different. So let's be people who train ourselves to speak life. And Proverbs 15:28 says, I'm giving you some tips. How am I going to do this? Start practicing it. Train yourself. Just like you practice when you rode your first bike. Train yourself. Secondly, think before you speak. Oh, this is a good one. Think. Just don't be random. Think before you speak. Proverbs 15:28. The heart of the godly thinks carefully before speaking. The mouth of the wicked overflows with evil words. Wow. See, your mom knew what she was talking about when she said, okay, think before you speak. Think about it. Is this going to bring life or not? Is this going to build up or not? Just take a breath. Did you know most arguments would end pretty quick if we took a breath and thought before we continued? That's another one I'm guilty of. My wife and I have been married for, it'll be 28 years in August. And you know, for many years, I had my side of what was going on, and I never took a breath. I've learned a little bit to just be quiet sometimes and try to understand. So take a breath. Think before you speak. The heart of the godly thinks carefully before speaking. The mouth of the wicked overflows with evil words. James 1:26 says you can control your tongue. If you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you are fooling yourself and your religion is worthless. Ooh, Lordy. But I'm just throwing that out because you know what? We've all messed up at times. I don't want you to go home tonight feeling defeated. If you've messed up, so good that he forgives. But as we train ourselves, we should get better and better at this. We should be able to have more and more life-giving words and less of the words that hurt and tear down. So please, please don't go away discouraged. Maybe you had a rough day today. You just give it to him. Lord, forgive me. And then you go forward and you train yourself and you learn to control your tongue. I think we need a couple of examples of speaking life before we wrap up. I want to get to my last point in just a second, but some examples of speaking life, because if you're going to train yourself, well, what does that look like? So I'm just going to throw out some, and we'll start from our morning routine. When you get up in the morning, always thank the Lord for the good day. You're declaring a good day. Lord, I thank you. As Scripture said, this is the day you made, and I'm going to rejoice in it, even if you don't feel like one bit of rejoicing. You're going to start declaring it. You know what? It'll begin to change your day and you. So that's a good place to start. Thank the Lord for how he's blessed you for the food when you go to eat. That thanking and blessing for food is a declaring of it's positive. Don't be like, oh, all we got is stupid Cheerios again. No, it's okay. Cheerios is okay. Toast. Whatever it is you have for breakfast. Thank you, Lord. You've blessed us to have this food. You're beginning to declare, thank you that we are blessed. Do you say that every day? That's something you should say every day. Thank you, Lord, our family is blessed. 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 That is a word you cannot overuse. I'm serious. You cannot overuse that word. We are blessed and highly favored according to Scripture. We're blessed. We're blessed. We're blessed. So no matter how you're feeling, what the day looks like, you can declare that because it's in God's word. It's what he says about you. So declare it, declare it. Begin to train and teach yourself. That's an example of declaring life. All right, I want to wrap up here. The creator of the universe wants to give all of us an abundant life. You see, in the beginning, he spoke and everything good was created. Did you know that we're made in the image of God? And the God whose image we're made in created it all by speaking. John 1 verse 1. John 1 verse 1. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him. And nothing, everybody say nothing. Nothing was created except through him. Through who? The Word, and the Word was Jesus. Because later in chapter 1, it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Ooh, wow. Right from the beginning, he created it and he said, it is good. He created it by speaking it. He wanted us to have an abundant good life, and that's why he created an abundant good world. Unfortunately, sin messed it up. But did you know that Jesus, the Word, God's Son, came and dwelt among us, and then he looked out at the crowds, and he said, come unto me, you who are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. And he called them to himself. And he said, I want you to have an abundant life. John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That's what he wants for you and I. Jesus, the Word. You see, he paid the price for every person to receive this new abundant life. In one place, he told a Pharisee that you need to be born again in your spirit. You see, a new life from the inside out. And in Romans 6:23, it says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift of an abundant life is eternal life. And it's through Jesus. He said, Scripture says that there's only one way to the Father. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's what Jesus said. Well, how do you come through him then? What is this about? In Romans 10, verse 9, it said, if anyone confesses with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believes in their heart that he was crucified for them and rose again, they will be saved. It's that simple. That easy. And so here at church, every service we take a moment in case there might be one who has not yet asked Christ into their life, has not yet received that gift. We take a moment just to use words. And so we pray this simple prayer that just lets you use words. This is not about understanding it all. This is not about doing all the right things. This is simply saying, you know what? I believe Jesus is real. I believe he died for me, and I want everything that he paid the price for. So we're going to do that right now, and I want you to join in with me and repeat this prayer after me. Let's do this right now. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me, and I ask you now, forgive me of all my sin. I thank you, Jesus. I'm yours. And I choose to follow you. Amen. Praise God for that. That is so good.